A lady in Texas several months ago told me this story. She said, when our son was about 2 years old, my husband was teaching him to obey immediately whenever Dad spoke to him. My husband's mother had come for a visit. She was not happy watching this training. She said, Billy's just a baby and you're expecting too much out of him. My husband tried to explain how important it was for a child to learn to obey, but Grandma thought he was just pushing the baby too hard. One afternoon, my husband and Billy were in the front yard of our house playing a game of tag, and the road in front of our house was a steep hill. Meanwhile, up the hill a good distance away, a potentially deadly, dangerous scenario was beginning to be played out. The driver of a big truck, noticing that he was picking up too much speed, touched his brake pedal, only to realize that his brakes had gone out. He tried to gear down, but couldn't do it. He tried his emergency brake, and it wouldn't work. Back at the bottom of the hill, the mother continued her story. My husband turned to pick up a limb that had fallen in the yard, and as he did so, he heard the alarming, loud noise of a huge truck racing down the hill at a high rate of speed. The roar of the engine, the vibrating rumble of the truck bed grabbed his attention, caused him to immediately look to see where his little boy Billy was. His heart nearly stopped as he realized that his son was running straight toward the road and into the path of the truck. His first thought was to run and grab his little boy, but then he realized that he couldn't make it to the child before the two-year-old would be in the road directly in the path of the coming truck. In the meantime, Grandma was horrified, watching helplessly the entire scenario being played out from the front porch of the house. For years now, one of the most interesting and challenging of all topics to me has been the study of character. In a different message entitled, What Character Is and Does, I said these things. Character is virtue. It is moral excellence. It is what you are in the dark. Character gives beauty to life. Character is the guard for your reputation and the guard for a nation's freedom. Character is a must for success. It is the conscience of the unwatched. It is the preparer of good husbands and the builder of godly wives. It is the insurer of reward. Character, shortly put, is your entire destiny. Benjamin Franklin said, nothing is of more importance to the public welfare than to form and train up youth in wisdom and virtue. And A.W. Tozer said, the excellence of steel is its strength. The excellence of art is its beauty. So the excellence of mankind is moral character. And I can hardly imagine a more important topic for parents than the one I'm speaking on this afternoon, which is how to develop character in your children. You could also call this how to praise character in children. Now, my first thought is both biblical and foundational. It is this: begin chiseling early and continue doing so until the desired image is developed. Read that out loud with me, everybody. Would you please? Begin chiseling early and continue doing so until the desired image is developed. Now, I'm going to show that thought to you straight out of the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, where we read, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, those verses not only exalt the majesty of our Heavenly Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, they also teach us about the character of Jesus. Allow me to paraphrase verse 3 for you. It is saying that while Jesus was on this earth, His life shone the brightness of His Heavenly Father's glory, and Jesus' life also demonstrated for us what the moral character of His Heavenly Father was like. Notice that we're told that Jesus was the express image of His Heavenly Father. The Greek word itself, translated express image, is the word character. If you transliterate the Greek letters from Greek into English, it is spelled C-H-A-R-A-K-T-E-R. And our English word for character comes directly from this Greek word in your Bible. So what literally is it to be a person of good character? It's interesting to me that the public schools recognize the need to teach character. But did you know it is impossible to teach character without teaching about Jesus Christ? Because character is being like Jesus. It is thinking and acting in every situation like Jesus would think and act. And true character is the goal of God's work in you and me to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. The Greek word character was first used among the ancient Greeks to refer to a chisel. A chisel could be used to cut and trim a plain piece of wood until it turned into a work of art. I've seen people do the same thing even with a chainsaw. Cut and trim and chisel until a plain wooden stump became a work of art. A child's life in some ways is like a raw block of wood that is not only rather plain, but it is also rough and knotty and requires a lot of work. Some of you parents know what I'm talking about. The job of a parent is to chisel away that which is wrong and to shape and mold that which is right until the proper image is left on the child. And that image, if it is what it ought to be, will look very much like the person of Jesus Christ. The picture of my point slide shows the sculptor using the hammer of love and the chisel of truth to cut away unwanted and unneeded things so that the image of character is as beautiful and proper as it can be. My wife and I were in Zimbabwe, Africa. And there was a marketplace where wood carvers were making works of art and selling them. When the artisan in Zimbabwe started out with a piece of raw wood, he already had in his mind what he wanted that to look like. He knew that when he was finished, he wanted the wood to be in the shape of the continent of Africa. He wanted the plaque to have in it the five main African animals: the lion, rhinoceros, elephant, leopard, and water buffalo. So he cut and chiseled and carved and polished until when he got done, he had produced a beautiful work of art. Now that is something like what a parent is supposed to do in relation to his child. He is supposed to think in advance about the character qualities that he wants developed in his child's life. Then he should lovingly and diligently cut away disobedience and defiance and bad attitudes, while at the same time chiseling and shaping into the child's life respectfulness and kindness and diligence and gratefulness and joyfulness and on and on. Hopefully, by age 12 or earlier, the character seen in the child's life will be similar to the image of the character of Jesus Christ. We know very little about the outward appearance of Jesus, but we know a lot about what He was like on the inside. Frames on the outside do not matter nearly as much as the pictures in them. In Matthew 11:29, Jesus described Himself as meek and lowly in heart. Jesus was not only humble, He was also truthful and sincere and bold and forgiving and persuasive and determined and grateful and decisive and on you can go. So, read it again with me, would you please? begin chiseling early and continue doing so until the desired image is developed. Character is doing right until it becomes a habit. Somebody said it takes 40 days to establish a habit. Character is automatically doing that which is right. For instance, how does a child learn to obey? Even a baby should be told repeatedly with a happy voice, obedience is doing what you're told to do immediately and sweetly. Joyfully say to your child, do what I say right away with a smile. But even after you tell your child what obedience is, he will probably not understand it until you train him in how to obey you. So you have training sessions with your toddler where mom gets on one side of the room and dad gets on the other side and mom hands Johnny a toy to take to daddy. And daddy calls and says, Johnny, bring the toy to daddy. And when Johnny obeys, mom and dad both lavish praise on him for his obedience. A child wants to please his parents. He's born with that. Michelle Duggar told me that she puts her little girl Josie in a spot to play with her toys. She tells Josie, Mommy's going to go in the kitchen. In a little while, I'm going to call you. And as soon as you hear Mommy's voice, jump right up and come to Mommy. In a little while, she will sing out, Josie, come to Mommy right now. Josie, come to Mommy. I think Michelle probably sounds a little better than I do, but you get the idea. And when Josie comes, Mommy lavishes praise on her. If she doesn't come right away, then Mommy corrects her with a sad voice, not an angry voice, saying something like this, Josie, you didn't come to Mommy. You have to learn to listen for Mommy's voice. Mom is training her to obey. You see, a child is not born knowing to obey. In fact, a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. A child left to himself will not obey immediately or sweetly. You also teach by proper, loving, non-angry correction if there is defiant disobedience. Now, what are we doing? We are chiseling the character quality of obedience into the life of a child. Why? Because obedience is attractive and disobedience is just plain ugly. How does a child learn to be respectful? Well, you begin by teaching him what respectfulness is. You say to your child, it is very important for us to be respectful, and respectfulness is showing honor to others by my words, actions, and attitudes. And then have the child repeat what you said back to you. Read that with me, would you please, everybody? Respectfulness is showing honor to others by my words, actions, and attitudes. But then you must train your child to show respect. How do you do that? Well, your child should hear you say, yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, to other people. And then also, set your child up. Ask an older person to walk up to your child at church. Tell your child in advance that he needs right away to stand up and shake his hand. Then explain to your child why you did that. Because Leviticus 19:32 says, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man. I was walking along with my grandson. I asked him a question. And he answered me, yes. So I just asked the question again. He knew I was waiting on him to say yes, sir. So he said, yes, sir, Papa. Then I said, Judah, why do we say yes, sir, and no, sir? And very quickly he replied, because we want to be respectful. Now, what if you let a child get by with answering, yeah, instead of saying, yes, sir? Then when people look at your child, They're going to see the equivalent of a plain, ugly block of wood hanging on the wall instead of a beautiful, carved, and polished plaque. Why do we bow our heads during prayer? To show respect to God. And why don't we let children talk in church and make noise and misbehave? Because we're training our children to show respect to God, to the pastor, and also to others all around them. What is the point? Read it again, please. Begin chiseling early and continue doing so until the desired image is developed. You can download a character quality sheet from our website. And I have a copy of one right here. And study the 49 character qualities listed there. And one after another, work on developing all of those character qualities in your children. Choose one character quality per week and post it in your home. Maybe you're going to post diligence and give the definition of it. And then talk about it all week long and have everybody in the home watch for it, work on developing it in their own lives, and also watch for it in others' lives so as to praise them. Now, think about this. A parent is a wood carver. A good wood carver must first learn how to do it. Then he has to be patient, diligent, and thorough. You must first develop your own character so that then you can help develop your children's character. So, I could throw in right here, how do you tell if a child is ready for marriage? Well, you can take the character quality sheet and mark one. I put a guy's name on here by the name of Mac, whoever that is. And on each of the character qualities, I put a number from 0 to 10. 0 means he's really in trouble with that. 10 means he's doing fantastic. So in truthfulness, I gave Mac a 10. That's good. In obedience, I gave him a 6. He's got some work to do. In reverence or respect, I gave him an 8. Now, that could be a problem for him because a man's lack of respect and honor for others could easily translate into him not showing honor to his wife. In diligence, I gave him a 9. That means he's probably going to be a good provider for his family. But what if I had given him a 4 on diligence? Is he ready to get married? No, he isn't. In patience, I gave him a 6. That means that one of these mornings when he's trying to get out of the house with his wife and she's not ready, if he's got a problem with self-control, then he's probably going to get angry because she's not ready to go and he hasn't developed patience yet. In gentleness, I gave him a 9. That's very important because gentleness is a great thing in the life of a child that makes the child really the parent's child. And if he's not gentle, then he's going to have problems all of his life. Now, nobody is perfect. But glaring character flaws can spell disaster for a couple's marriage. So you must chisel. The parent is always chiseling until the beauty of obedience comes out in the character. Chisel until the beauty of respectfulness comes out in the character. Chisel until you see responsibility. Chisel until you see loyalty. Chisel until you see humility. Chisel until you see attentiveness, and so on. A lady wrote this. She said, "You've printed a few letters from parents who have a hard time getting their kids to pick up after themselves. I'm a 60-year-old grandmother, and I raised 8 very tidy children, and here's how I did it. I told them I wasn't their maid, but if they insisted, I would pick up after them. But everything I had to pick up went into mom's sack. On allowance day, the items were bailed out at 50 cents apiece. If the child didn't have enough allowance to cover all of his items, I got to select what got bailed out. Clothes first, toys later. Within 2 weeks, the children understood the importance of picking up after themselves. And today, all 8 of them are happily married and well organized." Now, do you realize what that lady was saying? She was saying that she chiseled until she got responsibility and orderliness developed in the life of her children. A father asked me a while back, how can I get my daughter to keep her room neat and clean? And I replied, you take the time to joyfully clean the room with the child every day, then every other day, then twice a week, until all you have to do is check and make sure that the room is clean. Number two, how do you develop character in a child? Read it with me, please. Make discussions about character a regular thing in your home. Deuteronomy 6:7 talks about the parents' responsibility to diligently teach children when you're sitting in your house, when you're walking or traveling, when you lie down at night, and when you rise up in the morning. And that pretty much means you're thinking for ways to develop your children's character all the time. If you go back to the 1800s and early 1900s, there were many books that emphasized character development in young men and ladies. You'd find it interesting. If you go to antique stores to look for books like that, you can find them. I was reading about a prominent figure in history who had died over a century ago, and his family was going through his things, and they reached in his pants pocket and pulled out a paper he had apparently carried for over 60 years describing rules of good character for young men. I suspect those may have been similar to the ones George Washington had as a boy. Here are some of them. Every action done in company ought to be with some sign of respect to those that are present. Sleep not when others speak. Sit not when others stand. Speak not when you should hold your peace. Let your countenance be pleasant, but in serious matters somewhat grave. And here's a good one. Accept corrections thankfully. Several generations of Americans learned to read on the McGuffey readers. One researcher said that 120 million copies of McGuffey readers were sold between 1836 and 1960. During that period of time, it was in the top three published books in the entire world, the Bible, Webster's Dictionary, and McGuffey readers. The McGuffey readers emphasized character, the Bible, and morality. It was a common theme to show what happened when a child did not have character or when a child did have character. And many storybooks back then did the same. And did you know there's actually a fresh wave of that taking place now? There are character sketches books that are filled with pictures of animals and tell how those animals display certain tendencies that can be illustrations of character qualities. There are character booklets. By the way, lots of this message I learned from other people and have tried to integrate it into my life and my teaching. I was in somebody's home and they showed me character first booklets a family can use to learn discretion, diligence, creativity, and many other character qualities. But generally speaking, don't miss this. We've had decades of time where discussions of character and emphasis on character has not been passed down from one family to the next. Do you know how each family becomes what it is has a lot to do with what the parents did in their home? Most of what I'm about to share with you, most parents haven't learned. I'm not being critical, I'm just saying we really, for the sake of your children and grandchildren, these are things that could be very helpful to the next generation. One writer suggested this. Chores can be turned into character exercises. For example, we will all do the dishes tonight to express gratefulness to those who made the meal. Tomorrow we will learn thoroughness in doing the dishes to make sure all the food is off the plates. And the next night we will learn organization, as we'll put everything where it belongs. And the next night we will learn endurance as we keep on doing what we've been doing. Family devotion time is a wonderful time to discuss character using the Bible. Depending on the age of the children, you might want to write down two or three character qualities such as truthfulness, compassion, and meekness. and ask the children to tell you which one is pictured as you read the story of the Good Samaritan. Or you might want to write down several character qualities and have the children find them in some other Bible story. You might hold the sheet with all 49 character qualities. Have all the children have it and try to find which character qualities are seen in some particular Bible story. And once the Bible story is done, you could ask each child how he showed that character quality that day, or how he could have. Or he could tell especially how he saw a brother or sister demonstrate that particular character quality. Remember, I'm talking about, read it with me please, make discussions about character a regular thing in your home. You might read the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 in Matthew 14 and have the children notice the sensitivity of Jesus to the needs of the people. The people were hungry. They'd gone a long time without anything to eat. Then you can define sensitivity, exercising my senses to see and hear what God wants to tell me about the needs of other people. You can also notice the resourcefulness of Jesus in using what that little boy gave him, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You can discuss the generosity of the boy giving his lunch to Jesus. How many little boys do you know of who are willing to give up their lunch? I had a couple of children after church the other day. Little boy was standing at the back of the auditorium and he had 5 little pieces of candy in his hand. I thought I'd have some fun with him. And I walked up to him and I said, "Could I have a piece of your candy?" He pulled it back like this. Started closing his hand. And his dad standing right there, and his dad said, "Go ahead and give Brother Davis a piece of the candy." I said, "Can I have just one piece of your candy?" He closed his little hand. And I said, "If you'll give me one piece of your candy, I got some like it back in my office, and I'll give you 2 pieces if you'll give me one of it." And with that, he just closed his hand and turned like this. So how often do you see little boys who are generous? There was the creativity of Jesus coming up with a way to feed the multitude. And there was the orderliness with which everybody was served as Jesus had them sit down in groups across the mountainside. And they were thrifty. They took up 12 baskets of leftovers. Some mama here today likes that. You can tell Bible stories where there was failure and ask what character qualities may have been missing. What did John Mark lack in his character that made him go back from that missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas mentioned in Acts 15? What was he lacking? Maybe he was lacking boldness. Maybe he was lacking endurance. Maybe the problem was dependability or faith or contentment or determination or loyalty or something else. I don't know what it was, but whatever it was, he must have allowed the Holy Spirit to correct it, because in 2 Timothy 4, Paul asked for John Mark. How do you develop character in your children? Number 3, read it with me, everybody. Would you please make corrections by pointing out missing character qualities? You see, you don't want to correct just what your child does wrong, because usually what was done wrong has a character quality behind it that is missing, that will manifest itself not just in that one way, but in many other ways as well, and will do so throughout life unless it is corrected. When Jesus corrected, have you ever noticed how he corrected in relation to missing character qualities? In Mark 4:40, after the storm on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus said to his disciples, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" He corrected them for their lack of faith, which is picturing what God wants to do and then acting in accordance with it. A chapter later, Jesus said to the woman who touched his garment and was healed, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole." In Mark chapter 6, verse 4, when Jesus said that a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, Jesus was pointing out to the people their lack of discernment and respectfulness. In Mark 11, Jesus cleansed the temple. And he said, "My house should be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves." Jesus was correcting their lack of reverence, sincerity, and honesty. Almost any problem you deal with your children has a missing, matching character quality. Let's say we have a problem with a messy room. What is the needed character quality? Orderliness. And the absence of orderliness will show up in much more than just a messy room. What if we have a brother who puts down his sister? He is missing respectfulness. How about a child who does not do his or her chores without being reminded we are missing responsibility? A child who doesn't put away his toys now may not put away his tools one of these days and may get fired because of it. If someone doesn't tithe, the missing character quality is generosity. Someone who's a whiner and a complainer is missing contentment. Someone doesn't finish a job may be missing thoroughness and persistence. Someone who is peer dependent may be missing boldness. Someone who doesn't hear instructions, what are they missing? Attentiveness. Now, read my key points with me. Would you please, everybody? Begin chiseling early and continue doing so until the desired image is developed. Number two, make discussions about character a regular thing in your home. Make corrections by pointing out missing character qualities. And number four, learn to praise character qualities. This is so important. Try to stay with me. Proverbs 27:21 says, as the finding pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. And the verse is describing how the silversmith would heat the pot until the dross rose to the top. Praise is a purifier. It motivates those we praise to develop more of what we praise them for. And it helps to get rid of the negative things, the dross, that we don't want them to have. Now, it's important here to understand the difference between three things. Read the words with me, would you please? Flattery, worship, and praise. What are these? Flattery is excessive praise or fawning compliments, usually for the wrong things. Proverbs 29:5 says that a man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. What are you supposed to do with flattery? You reject flattery. Several years ago when I was pastoring, some carnal young men came to check out some of the young ladies in our church. When I asked them why they were not at their own church, they said, "We like your preaching better than our pastor's preaching." I looked at them and I said, "That is not why you are here." Then I explained to them how I knew why they were at our church, and that as a pastor was concerned about his flock, that what they were doing was not acceptable. They laid a net for my feet. With God's help, I refused to step in it. How about worship? Worship is the highest praise and honor that belongs to God alone. In Acts 14, the people at Lystra tried to worship Paul and Silas after Paul healed a man who had been crippled since birth. Paul reproved them by reminding them that he and Silas were ordinary men just like them. By the way, most people need a greater sense of loyalty to their authorities, but we also have to remember that there's a line to be drawn between loyalty and worship. Proper praise is showing sincere appreciation for some character quality God and others have helped you to develop. It is pointing out words, actions, or attitudes and explaining how they have benefited your life. Now, what do you do with praise? You pass on praise. You have to learn to pass praise to others. Sammy, you did a great job mowing. My dad taught me how. Your hair, honey, really accents your countenance. My mom taught me how to fix it. Did you ever notice how Jesus was continually passing praise to His Father? In John 10:25, Jesus said, "The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." I've had a lot of fun with passing praise with my grandchildren. One day one of my grandsons said, "Thank you, Grandpa, for helping me with that." I said, "Well, thank you for being grateful." He said, "Well, thank you for teaching me to be grateful." I said, "Well, thank you for being willing to learn." He said, "Well, if you hadn't taught me, then I would have never known to do it." And you pass it back and forth. It's one of the most fun things you can do in your family. A key way to develop character is by praising character. So why don't we praise? Because, first of all, we haven't learned how. I really hope you'll take the challenge to make it a priority to study and learn about character until you begin to think about it and talk about it all the time. The second reason we don't is because it's against our nature. I wish it wasn't so, but I can really testify here. It's so easy and so natural to be picky and angry, critical, harsh, rude, negative. Anybody else here have a problem with that? I have my share. A father was asked the question in counseling one day, "Have you been praising your daughter?" He said, "Yes, I have." "When?" "About a month ago." "What did you say?" He replied, "You know, you've got some great potential." He didn't praise her at all. What he really said was that he didn't see anything to praise her for right now, but if she'd change some things, he might get to do it in the future. If we expect our children to be perfect or do a job perfectly, we'll probably never be able to praise them. One mother told how she noticed that she seldom praised her children because she expected them to do a job perfectly. She changed her approach. The next time she inspected a job that a son had done, she said to him, "Son, you did such a great job. Now tomorrow when you sweep that area, would you try to get those Cheerios out of that corner as well?" Tom Hill, in his book, Making Character First, teaches businesses and organizations how to create a culture where character is rewarded and recognized. Mr. Hill said this, "We expect people to do the right thing, and when they meet our expectations, we don't see any reason to praise them. Studies show the number one reason people leave organizations is limited recognition and praise. More people quit for that reason than because of issues with their pay. When we're always correcting and seldom praising, then people get discouraged and begin to think, there's no way I can ever please those over me." The third reason we don't praise is that we think we're done when somebody does what we tell them to do. It's easy to do nothing but to command and correct and then say, "Well, they shouldn't need praise. They won't always get it, so they may as well learn the real word now." But, read this with me, would you please? Children who get praise when they should get it will do better when they don't get it, because at those times they will hear God praising them in their hearts. The fourth reason we don't praise is we don't put ourselves in other people's place. The golden rule Jesus taught, paraphrased, is this: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And I have never met, and you have never met, people who did not appreciate sincere praise. Praise creates an atmosphere of acceptance and gratefulness and love, and criticism creates an atmosphere of rejection and harshness and hatred. In a study titled "Seven Things Employees Want Most at Work," money was number 5 or number 6 on the list. And the number one thing that people wanted at work was appreciation. Tom Hill said, "In school you get what you test. At work you get what you require. With people you get what you praise." He also said, "A child is molded by the praise of his parents. A man is molded by the praise of his wife." Ladies, you have no idea the power you have if you will praise your husband. "And an employee is molded by the praise of his boss." I remember several years ago now, I was talking to a father. I was in my office and I was talking to him about problems he was having with his teenage daughter. And he was describing those problems in detail to me. And she really did have some serious problems. Then I sat down and talked to the daughter. And there were a lot of things she said when she was talking, but one statement really jumped out to me, and that statement was this. She looked at me and she said, "Pastor, Dad never praises us." I thought, well, now, wait a minute. I called the father back in and I asked him, "Sir, how much do you praise your daughter?" And he proceeded to tell me there wasn't anything he could think of for which he could praise her. I had anticipated he might do that. And while I had been sitting in the room with the daughter, I had pulled out a character quality sheet, a blank one. And I was looking at her, listening to her, and I started circling the character qualities that I could see she had in her life. And I looked at him and I said, "Does she have the character quality of flexibility?" "Well, yeah, I guess she does." "Does she have the character quality of love?" "Well, I guess she does." "Does she have the character quality of compassion?" "Well, I guess she does." I kept going. I had circled, out of the 49 character quality, I had circled almost 20 of them. I said to him, "Sir, your daughter has all of those character qualities according to your testimony. The problem is this. You're criticizing her more for the ones she doesn't have instead of praising her for the ones she does have. She doesn't feel like she can ever please you, and she has given up." Now, another important thought here is this. Read it with me, please. Not only are we prone to not praise, but without understanding specifically what to praise, we naturally tend to praise the wrong things. What are the right things to praise? What are the wrong things to praise? Look at Jesus. In Luke 10 is the story about Martha being busy in the kitchen and Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. Martha was achievement-oriented. She thought like so many of us naturally think, get the job done and get praise for it. And Jesus had to correct her wrong thinking and say to her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part." Jesus was praising Mary's alertness, attentiveness, and sensitivity. Read with me, would you please? We naturally tend to praise knowledge, position, talent, accomplishment, achievement, physical beauty, or physical strength. We should affirm those things so as to give acceptance. But what we should be praising is character. If you praise talent or achievement, you get pride, which limits further the development of talent and stifles achievement. You affirm, read it with me, please. You affirm talent or achievement, and when you do so, you are giving acceptance to the person. For instance, I say to my grandson, "Joshua, God has blessed you with a talent to be able to sing." He really has. The boy can sing really well. "But Josh, what I really appreciate is that you sing so joyfully and sincerely with a humble and grateful spirit. And there's music you won't do because you don't think it honors God, even though people want you to do it." Now, when you praise character, you get more character, which will include developing talents and abilities to their highest potential. If you praise a child for being smart, you can create in that child the opposite of what you want. You can make the child proud and haughty or worse. Do you recognize the picture on the screen in front of you? Ted Kaczynski was the man in the 1990s who sent bombs through the mail and killed and maimed a whole bunch of people. And a lady who knew him said, "I have never known anyone who had a brain like he did." Not enough to be smart. Someone asked me, "Does praise create dependency?" And I said, not praise of true character, because once true character is developed, it won't be dependent. Real praise is also not manipulation. Manipulation is something so that I can benefit. Like the father who said, "Son, you look so strong today. How about washing the car for me?" Praise says, "I appreciate your sincerity when I see you singing in the choir." Praise says, "The joyfulness of your smile is like the sun coming up in the morning." Praise says, "I appreciated your boldness. I saw you witnessing to that person." Son, your persuasiveness in writing that letter of appeal to our senator was a delight to my heart. Justin, your washing the car demonstrated real thoroughness. I feel special just driving the car. Read again with me, would you please? Praise of character produces motivation to be like Jesus, while praise of achievement produces conflicts and resentments and jealousies and may even produce lower achievement in others. Tom Hill told how a company started using Character First curriculum and experienced a 90% drop in its workers' compensation rates in 2 years' time. He said, lots of people think that workers' comp claims are the result of a slick floor or something like that. But 92% of workers' comp claims are because of employee negligence and fraudulent claims. Read with me again, would you please? When you praise character, you will create a desire to produce more character. Some time back, I had some grandchildren live next door, and we would go for walks all the time. We'd go on a walk to the mailbox with Papa, and we would sing all the way. One day, little Janae was sick and wasn't able to go, so Judah went with me, and we stopped and picked some blackberries, and we're just standing there eating the blackberries. And finally, I said, "Judah, how about instead of eating the next handful, you take them to your little sister?" "Okay, Papa." So I helped him pick, and he wound up with both of his little hands full of blackberries, and he went to the house and gave them to his little sister. When he came back, I said, "Judah, that was so kind, so generous, and so unselfish." He looked at me, he thought for a minute, he said, "Papa, I need to be kind, generous, and unselfish some more." And he went over and started picking more and took them in the house to his sister. Do you see what I mean? Praise of character produces more character. The Bible is full of praise for character if we look for it. The little maid was praised for her resourcefulness, coming up with a way to help her master Naaman after all the other efforts to deal with his leprosy had failed. God praises Abraham for his obedience, his willingness to give up his only son to picture what God himself would do centuries later so that you and I could be saved from our sins. The Bible praises Ruth and Boaz. Ruth, for her spirit of gratefulness, her initiative, and her boldness. It praises Boaz for his attentiveness, his gentleness, his generosity, and his decisiveness. These are two of the most character people in the whole Bible. In Matthew 16, Jesus did not praise his disciples for being smart, but he did praise Peter for his discernment. "Blessed art thou, Simon, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee," after Peter had said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." In Matthew 26, there was a woman with an alabaster box of ointment, and the disciples thought it was a waste to pour it out on Jesus. But Jesus heaped praise on her. He said, "This will be told throughout the whole world." What was he praising? Her sensitivity, her alertness, and her generosity. It's easy to praise a person for his position. Manager, sergeant, teacher, pastor, senator. Certainly we should honor and respect position. But in Matthew 8, Jesus gave no praise for the position of the centurion, but he did praise him for his wisdom and his faith when he said, "I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." The widow, who gave her only two mites, had no position, yet she was praised for generosity. In Mark 8, when Jesus commended the widow who kept going back to the unjust judge, he was commending her perseverance and her endurance. In John 13, Jesus said that others would know we were His disciples. How? Because of our talents, our knowledge, our accomplishment, our looks? No. Because we love one another, which is meeting the needs of others without the motive of personal reward. Notice this. A child should receive more praise for her initiative in practicing the piano every day without being told than for her accomplishment in playing in a recital. A talented child could possibly do well with or without much practice. A child should receive more praise for his attentiveness in listening and his diligence in studying than he does for his performance in getting a certain grade on a test. A girl should receive more praise for acting properly, which is self-control, than for looking pretty, because that could lead to her becoming vain and proud. A young man should receive more praise for his punctuality, for his appointments. That could make him or break him on his job later. He should be praised for his endurance under pressure, his sensitivity toward his mom and his sister. He should be praised more for that than for his talent in shooting a basketball or kicking a soccer ball. Here it is. Praise more for alertness than for accomplishment. Praise more for availability than for achievement. Praise for benevolence, not beauty. Praise for flexibility, not physique. Praise for loyalty, not looks. Praise for patience, not position. Praise punctuality, not personality. Praise sensitivity, not strength. Praise sincerity, not smartness. Praise truthfulness, not talent. When a young person has a reason to be afraid, but shows faith and trust in said, he should be praised for it. When a child refuses to get angry, even though his brother or sister has messed up his room, the child should be praised. When a young person could easily pick up a dating spirit for someone, but they recognize they're not ready for marriage, they should be praised for their patience and their self-control. One of the most interesting studies you could do with your whole family would be to study the commands that Jesus gave and how obeying those commands relates to and requires different character qualities. For instance, Jesus commanded us to repent. What character qualities are needed to repent? Humility and obedience. Jesus also commanded us to go the second mile. What character quality is needed to do that? Deference. In Matthew 7:1, Jesus said, "Judge not, that you be not judged," and you need discernment to do that. Jesus warned us, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine," and you need discretion to obey that. In Luke 11, Jesus said, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." That requires persistence. In Matthew 18, Jesus commanded us to not despise little children. And that requires tolerance. We're talking about learning to praise character qualities. And the next few thoughts are to me the best thoughts in the entire message. Read it with me, would you please, everybody? The most powerful praise you can give someone is when you connect your praise with some praise given in the Bible. Read that one more time, would you please? The most powerful praise you can give someone is when you connect your praise with some praise given in the Bible. For example, you could say to your child, "Your generosity in giving to those hungry children reminds me of the generosity of the little boy who gave his 5 loaves and his 2 fishes. And I believe God will multiply your gift just like He multiplied that little boy's." "Son, your responsibility reminds me of the disciples preparing for the Lord's Supper." "Son, Your humility reminds me of the humility of Moses when he was attacked and he simply allowed God to defend him. Your creativity reminds me of David's creativity in choosing those little stones as a way to bring down the giant Goliath. Your loyalty reminds me of Ittai's loyalty to King David. Study that passage. It's an amazing passage. A lot of people are not familiar with it. Your joyfulness in singing reminds me of Paul and Silas singing in prison and how that led to the Philippian jailer getting saved. And I wouldn't be surprised if your joyfulness didn't cause somebody to come to Jesus Christ as well. The dad was trying to teach his 2-year-old son to obey immediately whenever he heard dad's voice. Grandma was visiting. She felt like her son was expecting too much out of her grandson. The husband and son had been in the front yard playing a game of tag. The road in front of the house was a steep hill. When the husband turned to pick up a limb that had fallen in the yard, he heard the sound of a huge truck racing down the hill at a high rate of speed, and he immediately looked to see where his son was, and his heart nearly stopped when he realized his son was running straight toward the road and the path of the truck. His first thought was to run and grab his little boy, but then he realized that he couldn't make it to the child before the 2-year-old would be in the road, right in the path of the truck. Dad yelled out, "Billy, stop!" And Billy stopped immediately. The 2-year-old actually froze in place. He didn't turn around. He didn't move. He didn't try to run. He simply obeyed his dad's command. And the huge truck raced on by as dad picked up little Billy and hugged him and praised him for obeying daddy. Billy's mom and grandma had been sitting on the front porch and saw everything, and dad put Billy in his mommy's lap, then looked at grandma and smiled and said, "Mom, this is why we train him to obey immediately when I speak." And grandma was speechless. Later, they found out that the truck's brakes had failed and the driver could not have stopped. And the mom who wrote the story for me added a P.S. and said, "We believe Billy's angel was there too." What character quality do you personally need to develop in your life that is not there right now? What character qualities do you see that you need to develop in your children's lives? Will you commit yourself to chiseling away what you need to chisel and shaping and molding so that your children become the beautiful vessels that God plans for them to be? What is the goal of all this anyway? It is to point people to Jesus, who was the only truly perfect man to ever live. One man testified this. He said, "What brought me to salvation was an attempt to demonstrate perfect character for one day. And after several days of trying, I realized I wouldn't be able to earn my way to heaven, and I was then open to the message that God sent His Son to pay the price for my sin, and I then trusted Christ for my salvation." Have you trusted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Would you bow with me, please?